on my table, I think, downstairs. I only made, yeah, you can take it. I only made 12 copies. I didn't realize, I had no idea how many people to expect. So I'm happy that 12 was not enough. But, you know, my apologies that 12 was not enough. So today we're going to be starting the Sugya of Dinei Malchus HaDin. Again, what we're doing for these last few shiurim of this man is just jumping around different spots in Bava Kamma, sugyas that we didn't get to that I think are fascinating, and trying to touch upon those sugyas. So what we're going to do today is the Sugya of Dina, today and probably Wednesday and maybe even Thursday as well, is the Sugya of Dinei Malchus HaDin. The Sugya of Dinei Malchus HaDin is an interesting one because it comes up in so many different situations. We were just discussing, what were we discussing recently? Oh yeah, I had that Thursday night shiur with the Shaila of the guy who wanted to gamble in order to hedge his, the ticket guy, yeah, in order to hedge his ticket purchase. And the Shaila was, but he's going to gamble, so aside from the gambling Shaila, which Ashkenazim Paschim is mutter, Meikar Adin, you have the issue of Dinei Malchus HaDin, because most sports betting is actually illegal. So would that be a problem? You go to your friend on the day of a I think football is most commonly bet on sports on the day of a Jets game. Let's say Giants. No one cares about the Jets. So you go and you say, I bet you the Giants are going to win today. I bet you the Giants are going to lose today. It's just a friendly bet between two people. Is that a violation of Dinei Malchus HaDin? You put $5 on a sporting event or something. Is that a violation? Or for example, my son just asked me, if you go over the speed limit, is that a violation of Dinei Malchus HaDin? Are you doing something that is usur if you travel over the speed limit? He asked me as he noticed my speed. So the question becomes, what exactly are the limits of Dinei Malchus HaDin? There are four places in Shas where Dinei Malchus HaDin comes up. One of them happens to be Bava Kamma Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. But the statement is made in all four places by the same Amora. It's a single Amora that repeats this phrase, Babakamak of Yugimel, Babasra Daf Nun Dalad, Nedarim Daf Chav Ches, and Gitin Daf Yud. Twice in Seder Nezikin, twice in Seder Nashim. The question becomes, you know, if you have one Amora that says something, the same thing, in several different places, so do you assume that that's just accepted by everybody? Or do you assume, no, that's a Das Yachid, and it's only Shmuel who keeps on saying, Dinei Malchus HaDin. Shmuel's the only one that really holds Dinei Malchus HaDin. So if you look at the Ritva, Nedarim Daf Chav Ches, which is source number 2 in the packets you have over here, Ukvar Arachti B'Zeh Mesechus Gittin, he says, I spoke more about Dinei Malchus HaDin Mesechus Gittin, because that's the other place in Seder Nashim where it comes up. Gam Parachaskas Abatim, and also in Babasra, because that's the other place where it comes up. Ubze Yish Safik Bekan. Vahad Shmuel Hilchasahi. Damakshin Rmina Hacha. Vahasan Parachaskas. Veloashkin Mandapalagala Bishum Duchta. Says the Ritva, when Shmuel says Nim Malchus HaDin, it is Halacha L'maisa, because, he says, for two reasons. First of all, in two out of the four contexts, when we quote Nim Malchus HaDin, the Gemara uses it to ask on somebody. How can you say what you're saying? What do you do about Dinei Malchus HaDin? But if it's Machlokas, what do you mean, what do I do about Dinei Malchus HaDin? I don't know the Dinei Malchus HaDin. You're asking on one Amora from a statement of Shmuel? Good, Shmuel's entitled to his opinion, I'm entitled to my opinion. The fact that you ask from Shmuel another Amoraim tells you that this isn't just Shmuel. Shmuel may be the one who transmitted this tradition, but it was a tradition that comes from way before Shmuel, and was accepted by everybody. So that's raya number one, is the fact that they keep asking on other Amoraim from the statement of Dinei Malchus HaDin. Furthermore, says the Ritva, we don't find anyone that argues. Meaning, we don't find anyone anywhere in Shas that says Dinei Malchus love Dina. There's no one that ever says otherwise. So if there's no one that ever says otherwise, you could assume that one opinion is accepted. That's always a question in Halacha. Let's say you have a topic that only one Rishon speaks about. And the other Rishon just don't talk about it. They don't say one way or the other about it. So do you assume that you have to pass them like that Rishon because he's the only one that talks about it? Or do you assume that no, if other Rishon would have been asked that same question, they would have said otherwise? Or what about by Achronin? You have a lot of times where there's some obscure, strange question that was asked, and there's only one Achron that talks about it. So Rav Avdi Yosef digs up that one Achron. He finds the one Achron that was, you know, the assistant chief rabbi in whatever in Bangladesh, and you know, he, and then he wrote a tshuva once about this, and he was the only one that was ever asked about it. So Rav Avdi Yosef says, "Oh, so we got to pass him that way because he, it's the only precedent we have." So Shapta points out, precedent. Why would you have to abide by precedent just because there's someone? That's not the way. That's not the way court. That's not, we don't work the way a court system would work. Civil courts would work, where they work based on precedent. That if there's one judge in Iowa that said something, so that matters now because that's now written into law. Shapta talks about, he remembers watching, I forget which trial it was. Said he was watching some major trial involving the Jewish people. I think it was maybe Nazi war crimes trial in Israel or something. But he was watching some trial, and they were quoting as precedent. The Israeli judge was quoting as precedent something the judge said in Idaho, and you know what they were talking about. He kept saying, "Yeah, the judge in Idaho said this in Idaho." They realized that it's Idaho. He just didn't know how to pronounce it. But the point is that we don't necessarily, one person says something, that means that everyone has to get in line. But the Ritva saying, by Gemara, yeah. Meaning if the Gemara brings up something and it's only one Amora, then we assume that everybody else gets in line. We assume that that is actually the halacha, that Dina Malchus Adina is a binding din. The question is, and this is what we're going to deal with today exclusively, what gives the melech the right to make laws? I guess I should translate the phrase. Dina Malchus Adina means the law of the land is the law. It means that if it's illegal, it's halachically forbidden, right? What gives the melech the ability? I can't write my own Torah. I'm not allowed to write my own laws. So some king is allowed to wake up one morning and write laws that I have to listen to? I think I'm much smarter than the president. So I can't, why can't I? I'm certainly, thank you. I'm certainly, I mean, it's probably not a compliment anymore, but I'm certainly more qualified to write laws in halacha. So why does he get to make halacha and I don't get to make halacha? What is this based on? Where does he get the right to make laws? There are at least six possibilities, more likely seven or eight possibilities of where this comes from. Rav Asher Weiss has an approach in Chelek Beis of Minchas Asher where he says, I know that everyone says there are six possibilities, there are really only two. So let's do those two first, right? The two possibilities that Rav Asher Weiss believes are the only two possibilities. Okay? Possibility number one, the Rashbam in Masechet Babasra, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Where can you find the Rashbam in Babasra? It's on the page. Rashbam takes over for Rashi in the beginning of the third paragraph of Bava Basra, beginning of the third paragraph, end of the second paragraph, at Chavches, Chavches, yeah, beginning of the third paragraph. In Bava Basra, Rashbam takes over for Rashi in Masechet Bava Basra. I believe it says in the Gemara, Kan Meis Rashi, that Rashi died right there. But Baruch Hashem, the Rashbam picked up the slack. I always imagine like Rashi writing, and then, you know, like coming out and the Rashbam taking the pen, continuing to write. So I don't think that's how it really happens, but that's in my imagination. So the Rashbam took over, and that's why Babas was the longest Masechta in Shas, because of the Rashbam. It's not actually the longest Masechta in Shas, but the Rashbam was extremely verbose. He would write and write and write and write. So when they had to fit all the Rashbams onto the page, so you look in Bava Basra, it's very easy to do Daf Yomi in Bava Basra if you're limited in time, because there are very few words of Gemara. As long as you don't read every Rashbam, it's fine, because there are very few words of Gemara on each page, because you have to fit all those Rashbams. I think they say Maseches Brachos actually has more words than Maseches Bava Basra. Maseches Brachos is only 60-something blot, 64 blot, whereas... Yes, and Bava Basra is 176 blot because of the Rashbam. So anyway, so the Rashbam, Maseches Bava Basra, this is in source number 3 for those who have the Marmakomos, and if you don't have it, you can either pretend you have it or look on with someone. In source number 3, says Rashbam, Vamar Shmuel, Dina de Malchusa Dina, Kol Masim Va'arnonios. What are Masim Va'arnonios? Taxes, right? Things that you have to pay. Umin Hagos Shel Mishpate Melachim. That's not taxes anymore. Minhagos means behaviors that are expected of a person. that are based on the king's law, shiragilim lahanig b'malchusam, that they are in the habit of requiring of people in their malchus, dinahu, it's halacha. Why? Shekol b'nei hamalchus mekablum aleihem meritzonam chukei hamelech u'mishpatav. What does that mean? Kol b'nei hamalchus, everyone, all the people, mekablum aleihem meritzonam, willingly accept upon themselves chukei hamelech u'mishpatav, the laws of the king. Ve'hilkach din gamar hu, and therefore it's absolute din. And if you therefore are holding on someone else's money, that halachically midine chosh mishpat you will not be allowed to, but midine hamelech you are allowed to. Everyone has already agreed to accept the dine hamelech, and therefore it's perfectly fine. It's not called that you're violating gezel; you're doing fine. So how does Rashbam understand that everybody seems to accept the government authority? What's the obvious question? What if you don't? Meaning, not the right? Jails are full of people who apparently have not accepted the government authority, right? So what does that mean? Maybe everybody accepts. So comes along the Trumas Hadashin and some Shin Mem Aleph, and Trumas Hadashin writes, "V'nir the source number 4. V'nir k'tzas tamu davar mishum dechazina dekalamoshlem regilim b'pshitas b'zeh shem tedirim litvar bakashos lahati langaria." This is the way governments function. They make laws, they pass taxes. And when we live there, we know exactly where we're living. Why is it that every NBA player wants to sign in Texas or Florida? There's no state income tax. They know exactly what they're doing. It's not like, you know, and when they choose to sign in New York, they know exactly what they're getting themselves into. When you move to a certain place, you know exactly what the rules are, and you're abiding by those rules. That they are all mekabel, the malchus. Meaning that apparently the way this works is, even if you don't really explicitly accept it, it's implicit. By choosing to live there, you are implicitly accepting what the malchus has to say. That is the way the Rashbam understands.
What if you want to rebel again?
What?
What if you want to rebel?
Yeah, so if you lead a rebellion, okay. So if that's when you come in, that's what you do. So then maybe you don't have dinu malchus din. I don't know. The other approach that Rav Asher thinks is a valid approach is the approach of the Rashba and the Ran in Nedarim. The Ran in Nedarim Daf Chav Ches, it's also mentioned by the Rash, the same approach. If you look in the Ran in Nedarim Daf Chav Ches, says the Ran, source number 5, B'moches Omen Mela, let's say you have a tax collector who's just doing his own thing. So then there's no dinim malchus dinim. He's a self-appointed tax collector. Like, you know, you graduate college and you're trying to figure out what should you do to make a living. And like, I know, I'll ask people for money. And that way I'll make a living. So I'll put on a hat that says tax collector. And I'll go around to doors and I'll say, can you please give me money? And when they say no, I'll take out a gun and I'll say, can you please give me money? And they'll give me money. And that way I'll be a tax collector. So that is not dinim malchus dinim. Paying taxes in that way is not dina malchus dina. Says the Ran, shelo b'mitzvah samelach. You were not appointed by the melech. You can't be a self-appointed tax collector. V'kasu b'tosus dafka malchi of the chav marman dina malchus dina. Whoa, says the Ran. This is the one Ran. Everybody knows this Ran in the Dharma, especially if you are a Haredi living in Israel and you don't like to pay taxes. This is the one Ran that you know. Why do you know this Ran? Because the Ran tells us, it's only by non-Jewish kings we say din malchus dina. Why? Mipnei sha'aretz shalo, because the whole land belongs to him. And he has the right to tell you, you know what? If you don't abide by my laws, I'm throwing you out. But if it's a Jewish king, meaning a king in Israel, there's no dina malchus dina. Why? Lefisha Eretz Yisrael, kol Yisrael shutfin ba. Because we all are equal owners in Eretz Yisrael. The king doesn't own Eretz Yisrael. V'chi amrinu dina malchus dina, hanimilin shinkana echad mechazeh, That if someone purchased the rights from the king to be the tax collector, you have to give it to him. Or he's appointed by the king. How does the Ran say what's the mechaye? Why does the king get to design it?
It's his land.
It's his land. You want to live under my roof? You follow my laws. So you want to live in my land? You follow my laws. That's how the Ran understands Dina de Malchus Adina, L'chora. Any problems with these approaches to Dina de Malchus Adina? So, yeah.
Yes. As much as we say to Israel is our land of Hashem, we have it back and everything, if the government is not a kingdom, really, it's a secular run government, so then it's like,
and therefore?
So then Dina de Malchus Adina should apply. I mean, the whole idea is that worship in the land as the Melech is a Melech Yisrael, so who makes
it? Oh, good. So problem number one, problem with the Ran is, even if he owns the land, well, a couple of problems. First of all, even if he does own the land, why do I have to pay if I don't want to pay? Meaning, I was born there. I never did anything that shows that I'm willing to be makabel what he's imposing. So what's the mechayev just because he owns the land? What's the mechayev? Okay, so you could argue because he could say I'll throw you out. Good, so let him throw me out. Till he deports me. So, but what's the mechayev of paying? Meaning, so that's one. And also, the very assumption that the land belongs to him is lechara very difficult. Why does the land belong to him? How did he acquire this land? Is that the way governments work nowadays? That the land belongs to him? That's certainly not the way governments work nowadays. The land does not belong to the king. The land belongs to all of us everywhere. So we shouldn't say Malchus Adina anywhere in a democracy. And Shitas Rashbam is also difficult. What is Shitas Rashbam? Oh, we're all maskim. We all agree. Why does it matter that we're maskim to the king in general? Did we do a kinyan on that haskama? What is the mechayev of the yachid to have to pay just because we're maskim to the idea that there's a king? Why does that mean I have to pay when I don't want to pay? Just because I'm maskim to the idea that there's a king. So both the Rashbam and the Ran are somewhat difficult. Now it should be pointed out, yeah? Yes.
I mean, only the Rashbam mentions anything aside from taxes. Is it only limited to that?
Ah, so is that going to be an afkamina over here? If you assume that we're all maskim, so then it's all the laws, right? If you assume it's my land, so you got to pay my taxes, that lechora should also apply to all the laws, no?
Then the Rashbam's thing is that he's saying it's all for us, and he mentioned the Hakim also. That's different than the Ran saying that he wants it.
I understand he mentions it and the Ran doesn't mention it, but l'chora misvara, it should apply to everything. And we have to discuss what the limits are. What about between a Jew and a Jew? There's an argument between a Jew and a Jew, and the halacha of the Chosh Mishpat says one thing and Din Malchus says something else. Do we assume that that's an assumption that everyone agrees to, that we're going to follow the Din of Malchus?
So based on that, maybe the Ratzon, I mean, let's say as much as Israel then, if we don't have a problem, that's in Hagim also, and it's Baratza, meaning even if the city someone lives there, if you're there Baratza, there is some sort
right.
Of...
Right, Eretz Yisrael would be the Nafkamina. Where the Ran says that in Eretz Yisrael doesn't apply because we all own it, but according to the Rashbam, it should still apply because we're maskim to whatever government. By living there, we're maskim to whatever the government is. Unless you want to say, no, we're not maskim, I live there because it's a mitzvah.
Say if you vote against them, so you're not maskim, but you actually want them.
No, but by voting and participating, I'm masking to the whole notion of voting. Unless I'm a Saber Chassid, where I won't participate in the election, and I won't, you know, and I'm only there because maybe there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael or Kedushas Arts or whatever, but I'm not there for any, you know, I don't acknowledge the government whatsoever. But L'chora, that would be enough community in the Ran and the Rashbam is Eretz Yisrael. Rav Schechter often points out, and this needs to be pointed out, this really needs to be pointed out, that most of the taxes that you pay in Eretz Yisrael, all of the taxes, l'chora, that you pay, are not really exempted by this Ran. What kind of taxes are we talking about over here? That why do I have to give the king my money? Because it's his land, and he can say that's the cost of rent in my land. Why are we paying taxes? Is it like a rental payment? When you pay taxes, what are you getting in exchange for taxes? Roads, garbage pickup, an army, libraries, healthcare in Israel, schools, all of this stuff. That is a totally different halacha. That's a halacha of a shutfus. Meaning, let's say you buy a co-op. You buy an apartment in a co-op building or something like that. So the apartment building has hallways that have light bulbs in it. And there's a garden in the front that needs a gardener to mow the lawn. Who pays for that? Who pays for all that? Yeah. Everyone together pays for that. There's a certain fee that you pay. You know, even if you own the apartment. So you buy the apartment for, let's say, $200,000. And then you have a monthly fee of $50 or something that you have to pay. What's that monthly fee for? For the super, for the whatever, and that, you know, to take care of all those things. My numbers may be way off, so don't get disappointed when you get married and you discover that these fees are way high. But I'm just giving as an example. So that's really what the taxes are at Israel are. That's got nothing to do with, oh, you live in my place, you got to do it. No, we're all partners together in something, and there are certain services we all want together. So that's the mechayev. Of paying taxes, nothing to do whatsoever with Dina the Malchus Adina. So that is approach number two. And again, Rav Asher Weiss thinks those are the only two approaches. That only because, like the Rashbam says, that everybody is maskim, or like the Ran says and the Rashba and others, that it's based on that it's his land, so he gets to make the rules. A third approach. I'm going to go out of order now from the Imam Makobos. A third approach is the approach Dvar Avram and Chelek Aleph Simen Aleph has a, what they like to say in yeshivas, a long arichus, somewhat repetitive. He has a lengthy discussion on the topic of Dina Malchus Adina, and he quotes from a Rabbeinu Yona. In Aliyos Rabbeinu Yona, Babas Vedafim Dalam Beis, it's quoted in the Shittim Gebetzes over there. And he says, "Shelo huskar dina de malchusa el b'hafka'a." The dina malchusa is only to be mafkia nechasim from the bialim, to take away nechasim, take away property from someone b'din ha-melech. Similar to hefker based in hefker. Similar to the notion that Bezin could say, "Oh, you see that pen that you think is yours? Bezin can come together, and get two other rabbis, and we'll say, poof, it's not yours anymore. And now it no longer belongs to you." That's the notion of hefker based in hefker. So it's limited, he says, to hafka'a. So, and therefore, if someone comes and takes that money, they're allowed to, because the government has the right, as a din based in, to say hefker based in hefker. What's the weakness in that approach, hefker based in hefker?
Is it acquiring it?
Well, once it's hefker, they're allowed to go and take it.
Well, it's theirs.
So first of all, there's a major discussion on halacha. How does hefker based hefker work? Does hefker based hefker only work to make something hefker? Does it even work to transfer ownership to somebody else? If it only works to make it hefker, then it makes it ownerless, there's no mechayev on me to pay taxes.
I don't pay anything.
You're allowed to take it from me because it's hefker, but I could also keep it because it's hefker. Right? I would have no obligation to pay the taxes. L'chora, right? So that's problem number one over here. Issue number two, l'chora, if you say it's all based on hefker, based on hefker. What?
And they're basically come and take their money back from the government.
Why? No, the government is the basin.
But if three rabbis decided they don't want to pay taxes, then each of them can make their own basin and take the money back from the government.
So we'll have to discuss that, but that's going to be the third issue. We'll get to that in a second, but I'm going to say it a little differently. The second issue with saying that it's hefker, based on hefker is you're really limiting the scope of the analysis. Meaning, Dina Malchus Adina only applies to what?
No.
To money, right? Going over the speed limit? No problem, son. Right? It's fine. Because it's not a monetary issue. There's no hefker, bez, nefker. Right? If you say that it's really bez, nefker, it's mamish only taxes. It's only money. What? Fine. So let them catch me.
Isn't that all based on money?
Yeah, good. I mean, but to actually speed itself is not. There's no hefker based in hefker. or any number of laws that I may be violating would not be a violation, even though it's a violation of the law of the land, would not be a violation of Din Malchus Dina. But most fundamentally, Hefker Beis and Hefker, what qualifies? You pull three people over after davening, do Ataras Nadarim, and take all your friends' property? Guys, I want to do Ataras Nadarim. I once took another that I, Hanhaga Torah that I was going to stand during Kriyas Torah. I don't want to do it anymore, and I have to be mutalach. Also, I like my neighbor's house, so I want to take it. Mutalach. It's after. That's it. Pretty good. Not bad, right? So, obviously, it doesn't work like that. So, what do you need for after Beis Din? At the very least, you need a Beis Din, right? Who's the Beis Din over here? Oh, 100 senators, and however many congressmen there are, 468 or something?
435.
What?
435.
How many?
435.
435? Okay, 435 congressmen. And the president and the vice president, and 9 Supreme Court justices, or 8. That's my Beis Din. That's my Beis Din. How many of them are great rabbis? 0. How many of them are rabbis? 0. How many of them are Jewish? A few. That's Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Meichi Tesi, that they count as a Beis Din. You could apply Hefker Beis Din Hefker in such a case. L'chora, that's what I'm saying, right? That's L'chora, a very fundamental problem with you. To suggest Hefker Beis Din Hefker. So the Dvar of Ram, Kavna Rav, suggests that there's Tzvei Dinim in Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Huh?
That matter then if it was set to like America or like an Israel, it's all Jewish.
Yeah, but still, are they working Midine Torah? Are they something that's they
like some of them, I think. I don't think all of them are. I'm sure some.
Okay,
of them.
So maybe you could argue that there's more room in Israel. A reverse Ran, right? This Aliyah Sarvanian would say the reverse, that Dina Malchus Dina only applies in Eretz Yisrael. No, but he's talking about everywhere. I mean, he's talking about where the Gemara says Dina Malchus Dina, and there was no one that was Jewish. There was no qualified Beis Din. So where does it come from? So Bar Avram suggests in Chelik Aleph Siman Aleph Anaf Beis Oshei, again Barichus, that Hefker Beis and Hefker, one could argue, comes Mikoach HaTorah, that it's Mikoach their Torah, they're such great Talmid Chacham, they're such Gedolei Yisrael, that they can therefore impose Din. Or you could argue that it has nothing to do with Torah. Hefker Beis and Hefker is not about Torah at all. It's Mikoach Hasrara. What's Srara? What does it mean? They are the authority. They are in a position of power. Beis Din has a Koach HaTorah. They also have a Koach HaSrara. I'll give you an example. If you assume that let's say the Malchei Yisrael in the times of the Nevi'im, you learn through Sefer Malachim Beis. Is Malchei Yisrael, the large majority of Malchei Yisrael,
not too good.
Oh, the Abu Zara, not the most religious people. So are they not a Melech? Would you say they don't have a din of a Melech? They definitely have a din of a Melech. If you're worried about Malchus, they have every right to kill you. They definitely have a din of a Melech. What are you talking about? I don't see the long beard or their kapata. How do they have a din of a Melech? So what's the answer? In order to be a Melech, you don't need to be chief rabbi, or rabbi, or not an Ovid Avodah Zarah, you just need to be a Melech. Hefker, Beis Din Hefker, works because Beis Din has Tzvei Dinim. There are two Dinim in being a Beis Din. Beis Din is an authority by Koach of their Torah, but they're also an authority just by dint of their authority. Just because they are the court, and therefore that is the authority. It's Mikoach Hasrara of Beis Din. So if they're Bale Srara, who is the centralized authority in most countries? The government. So in the United States of America, it's Congress, it's the Senate, it's the President, it's the Vice President, it's the Supreme Court, it's the government. They are the Srara. Mimela, they can impose Dina Malchus Adina. It's a chiddush to say such a thing, because we never find hefker srara hefker. It's hefker based in hefker. So it's hard to argue that it's all midin srara. And also, we never find that. We find by a melech that you have melachim that are of nevel dezarim. Show me the dayanim that were not balei Torah, and that we accepted as dayanim. That you don't find really. On a Sanhedrin, okay, you'll find in the Bezen Shel Gimel for Dine Mamanus, Shlosh Rami Bakar, the Gemara talks about, Neman Alay Abba, Neman Alay Avicha. Okay, but on a Sanhedrin, to be qualified, you have to know Kalatara Kula. So that's not even Shaya. So that Mehechi taste that there even is such a din of Srara. So that's the challenge, the difficulty in Rabbeinu Yonah. Rav Asher Weiss explains that he thinks that what Rabbeinu Yonah means is that even though we find Mishpatei HaTorah, that there's a centralized authority that you rely on to determine who the owner of the money is, and you know, to enforce monetary payments, that's only to be mafkia mamon. It's never to be makne mamon. It's only to take away mamon, never to be makne mamon. Meaning it's not me din hefker beis din hefker. What Rabbeinu Yonah is trying to say, Rav Asher thinks, Rav Asher Weiss thinks, is not that din of achus din works because of hefker beis din hefker. No. What he's trying to say is that there is a notion of din of achus din. It works for whatever reason it works. The Rabbeinu Yonah is not commenting on why it works. What he's commenting on is whenever you have someone with the authority to make monetary law, to change, to say something that you think is yours and change the bias of it, their authority is limited to being mafkia. All they're able to do is take it away from you. They are never authorized to make someone else the owner of it. It's only about being mafkia mamon. Just like the only other example you could think of where someone is going to try to take money and say that it no longer belongs to you. What's the only other example you could think of where someone's going to do that? Hefker beis din hefker. He's not saying Dina Malchus Dina is hefker beis din hefker. He's saying that the limits on Dina Malchus Dina are the same as the limits on hefker beis din hefker. But not that the mechanism of Dina Malchus Dina, how Dina Malchus Dina works, not that works through Hefker Beis and Hefker. That's what Rav Asher Weiss wants to read the Rabbeinu Yonah, because he can't imagine that we would say that it's Mamish Beis. Then the Dvar Avraham goes further, and he quotes a fourth possibility of what Dina Malchus Dina is based on. Quotes from Rashba and Ritva and Yivam Staf Mem Vav, that it's based on Kibush Mochama. What does that mean? What's Kibush Mochama? Conquer. What happens when you go and you conquer? You become, again, you graduate college, can't decide what I'm going to do. I'm going to become a great conqueror. So you want to go. You'll stampede through Africa. You'll conquer one village after another. Good, so you conquer. Speak to the dean, get that as a major. I don't think YU has it. It's another step up, another leg up. So you'll become a great conqueror. So what happens? You conquer something. What happens to all the money in the entire city? So we find that in Tanakh all the time. What happens? It's yours. That's Shalal Milchama. That's the spoils of war.
Is that stealing?
Nope. That's conquering. You get the spoils of war. No, that's not conquering. That's stealing. But you conquer a town and you become the new sheriff in town. So it's all yours.
You still have one house in town. You're good.
So the din is a din of kibush. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. It should be a major. And he explains that explains the Shitas Ramban in the Masechta Bava Basra, that Ramban writes in Bava Basra, Dina Malchus Dina only applies to old laws that have been in place But no king is ever allowed to make new laws. Why? No king is ever allowed to make new laws. Congress can't pass a law now, you know, a gun control law or whatever else, you know, whatever laws they want to pass. They're not allowed to pass, well, this one won't pass a gun control law, but let's say, let's say we'll swing back in favor of the Democrats. They want to pass a gun control law or something like that. So that they can't? They can't? No new law do I have to abide by. Second Amendment, I can have as many weapons as I want. No new law. Ramban says that. No new law. Mehechitezi, no new law. Why no new law? According to this, you understand very well. If the whole basis of Dina Malchus Adina is that when they conquer, they become the owner of everything, great. That's great for the conquering hero. Everybody else after the conqueror is not the conqueror, and therefore they can't do anything. L'chora, that is a huge chiddush. That Din of Malchus Din is only going to apply to the original conqueror, and it's all Din of Kibush Mulchama, not by Kibush Atznat. And also, you know, the raya that the Dvar Avraham brings from the Rashba and the Ritva and Yivam Astaf Memvav is really l'chora not a raya at all. And Rav Asher Weiss writes this in the Tshuva also in Chelek Beis of Minchas Asher. He writes that they're trying to explain the sugya Nivam Mustaf Memvav, that someone who gives taxes is Kona, someone who does not give to the Melech, because the Melech was Kona than Bekibush, and not because of Dina Malchus Adina. Meaning, it's a machlokas Rishonim to explain the halacha in the sugya Memvav. That if I give taxes and he doesn't, so I can take his land. You know, I'm going to pay the taxes on his land, so now his land is mine. Because he's refusing to pay the taxes, he won't, so I'm going to pay it, it will be mine. Right? His land now becomes mine. So Tulsa there says, yeah, Dina Malchus Adina, the king is allowed to do that. You're willing to pay the property taxes on it, it's yours. What the other Rishonim are saying is not that Dina Malchus Adina works with Din Kibush. What they're actually saying is that the reason I'm allowed to take the land that I pay taxes on has nothing to do with Dina Malchus Adina. It's not about Dina Malchus Adina. Rather, it's about Kibush. The reason the king can say, you take his land because you're paying taxes on it, is because the king was Kovish the entire land. The king is the conqueror. But as far as Dina Malchus Adina, that's a totally separate issue. The king is authorized to make all sorts of laws. And new ones and old ones, whatever. That has nothing to do with this. And Rav Asher points out, if you look carefully at that sugya, Nivamas Memvav, those Rishonim that use the words Dina and Malchus Adina to explain the halach over there never use the term kibush. And those Rishonim that use the term kibush to explain the halach over there, guess what? They never use the term Dina and Malchus Adina. Because these are just two different approaches to the sugya. It's not that one is complementing the other. This is what we call a machlokas. So very, very hard to say that one is complementing the other. Then there is a... How many are we up to now? Number five? We're up to? Rashi and Gittin Daf Tesem Beis. This is all Meltzer brings a raya from Rashi and Gittin Daf Tesem Beis. Do you have the Rashi here in the Marmakamas? What number is it?
12.
Yeah. Good, number 12. Chutz mikitei nashim, says Rashi, delav b'nei krisos ninhu, goyim can't be involved in gittin because they don't have a parsha of gittin. Hold the l'shaych v'tar is gittin v'kiddushin. They're not included in gittin v'kiddushin. Aval al hadinin itztavu b'nei noach. When it comes to dinim, b'nei noach are commanded. V'chein shichur yavadim, d'bekol b'sul d'arais, v'shav shichur l'ged ish, d'gamrin lola. So Rashi writes that if you have a shtar from a non-Jewish court, let's say you get a civil divorce, does that count as a get? No. Why? They're not authorized to make gittin. Why? Because they're not included in the parsha of gittin. The Torah doesn't give them authority in the area of gittin and kiddushin. Let's say you have a shtar in a non-Jewish court that says that it's a deed to property. Or someone owes you money. Is that binding? Says the Gemara, yes. Says Rashi, why? Halachically, they have no authority. Why should the non-Jewish court, the document that comes, that was written by a bunch of lawyers, why should that document be binding la'alacha if it says somebody owes me money? Why? Says Rashi. Because they are included in Dinei Mamonos. You know what makes them included in Dinei Mamonos? You know what gives them authority in Dinei Mamonos? No, what does Rashi say? Because they are mitzvah and dinim. Dinim is one of the seven mitzvahs they know. If they're obligated to set up a system of law, a system of din, you know, whereby people will not live with total chaos and doing whatever they want and pillaging and whatever. So that's it. That's what gives them the authority. That's how Rashi writes. They're mitzvah. And l'chora, the Tosfos right over there in Gittin writes the same exact thing. L'chora, that is also very difficult. Because, yeah, goyim are mitzvah and dinim, of course. So they have to make sure society functions. What does that do with me? You know, when Reuven has a deal with Shimon, when two Jews have a deal with each other, what does that have to do with the dinim that goyim have to set up? Yeah, they have an obligation to set up dinim, and therefore they are authorized to impose their dinim between each other. What does that have to do with me? I'm a Jew. So this is Al-Meltzer writes, maybe it's mikoach minhag, that the Jewish people have accepted, if you live in a country, that you're going to follow the laws of that country, so it works mikoach minhag. That's l'chara very dachuk. Because din malchus dina is, even if it's not a minhag, as long as it's a law, it's a law. So Rav Ashwai suggests, maybe you could say, that, you know, before Matan Torah, what laws did we have to follow? Whatever the dinim of the goyim were, right? Because the goyim has to set up dinim. Maybe at Matan Torah, we were not given a replacement for the din of the malchus. We were given an addition to the din of the malchus. And at Matan Torah, those dinim that we had didn't go away. It's just they were supplemented by new dinim also. But dinim malchus adina would still be binding. There could be an entirely different explanation of Rashi, and it could just be that Rashi's not trying to tell me that because goyim are mitzvah and dinim, therefore I have to listen. What he's trying to say is that even though a get that comes from a non-Jewish court is possible, because they're not b'nei krisos, so they're not b'toras krisos, and therefore they can't machshir that which is possible, but by shtarei mamon, their shtarei mamon are going to work because there is dinim l'malchus dinim. Meaning, Rashi's not explaining that this is where dinim l'malchus dinim comes from. He's saying, once we have dinim l'malchus dinim, we have to listen to what they say about money. Because money is an area where dinim l'malchus dinim applies. But he's not really giving the actual source of dinim l'malchus dinim. Very similar to what we said before from the, Aliyas Rabbein Yonah, right? That dinim l'malchus dinim does not come from Hefker, Beis, and Hefker, but that it works with a similar mechanism or a similar limitation as Hefker, Beis, and Hefker. So here also, it doesn't come from the dinim, but it works with a similar mechanism. So we've gone through so far today, I think, five different explanations of where dinim malchus dinim might come from. Bez Hashem, next time we'll go through another two or three, and then we'll go back and explain how, at least in Rav Asher Weiss's eyes, how it actually works. And we'll start getting into some of the nafkaminas.